man, you got to, when you go through a tragedy, God is doing something. What is happening here? God is at work. You got to ask yourself the question, what is the lesson in this tragedy? It's a sad thing that it happened. We wish to God that it didn't happen. But there is a lesson in this. Is it to prepare you to minister to somebody else? Is that why you're going through it? I remember there was a lady, and her son was killed, victim of this violent shootings. And she started a ministry, ministering to mothers who lost their children in violent shootings. Would to God that out of this tragedy, would to God that out of this tragedy, that somebody might be raised up.
Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We've been in a series on the Psalms, and today our journeys bring us to Psalm 13, where we will hear the conclusion of the message, From Tragedy to Triumph. God bless you as you listen today.
Can't cry out to the police. They're still looking for the guys. Can't cry out to other relatives. Eventually they're going to go home. They're going to leave. You left there by yourself. And there's only one that you can cry out to. The slaves had a song that they used to sing. And it was a code word, a code phrase. You know, when they said, steal away to Jesus. And it was talking about, you know, let's come and sit and be taught, because slaves weren't allowed to be educated. They weren't allowed to read. And so they would gather in places, in secret places, and they would learn to read. And guess what they would learn to read? There, you got it, the Bible. And so they had a phrase that was a code word, and that was steal away. Steal away to Jesus. That's what you need to do. If you're going through something, you need to steal away to Jesus. You need to go into his presence and spend time with him. Just let God love on you. Let God, you know, get mad, holler, scream, cry. I was going to say cuss, but no, don't do that. Don't do that. No, don't do that. Don't do it. But if you do, he understands. He understands. Whatever's in your spirit, you got to get it out. You know, losing somebody hurts. It hurts. And whatever is in your spirit, you got to get it out. You know, oftentimes I tell people at homegoing celebrations that the psalmist said that God puts our tears in a bottle. And so he says in another place, weeping may endure for a night. God has given us, in our human experience, he has given us tears. And when we fight the tears and we hold back the tears, then we keep that pain that's bottled up inside. And it's can't do anything but cause damage. No good will come out of keeping that pain inside. You got to release it. And that's why, you know, we read in the New Testament that when some people died, that they would hire these professional mourners. And they would come in. And they would just wail. Oh! Oh! And they would wail. And they would moan. Why? To help people get their grief. And God says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That when we come and we let it out, God takes it on his back. And we can cast all our cares on him. Because he cares for you. The psalmist, if he didn't get anything else right in the first couple verses, now he's starting to get it right, because he realizes that he got to come to the presence of God. He got to steal away to Jesus. And you know what? Somebody help me with this. Somebody help me with this. Why is it that people don't want to steal away to Jesus? You know, I know that it wasn't going to happen, but you know, whoever did it, you know, there's all kind of philosophies and theories that are out there why they did it. Some people say that it was retaliation. You know, if that's the case, why didn't you steal away to Jesus? Why didn't you steal away to Jesus? We want to turn everywhere else but to Jesus. And the psalmist had enough sense. And you know, I'm emphasizing this and I'm hammering on it, because even we as Christians, we want to turn to all other earthly comforts. We want to turn to all other earthly solaces. And there's only one. There's only one. And there's no magic thing that he'll do to wipe it all away at one time. But man, you're at least starting out in the right direction. He came to God. The prayer. Now, I like this right here. He came to the presence of the Lord, and then look what his prayer was in verse 3. O Lord, my God, lighten my eyes. Lighten my eyes. What was he saying? He was saying, Lord, give me wisdom. If you go to the next slide. Give me wisdom and show me what to do. Lord, lighten my eyes. I'm walking in darkness right now, but lighten my eyes that I may see what to do. James put it like this: my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, when you fall into tragedies, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And if any of you, the psalmist said, lighten my eyes, lighten my eyes. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. God is not harsh, and it shall be given him. That whatever you're going through, that you come to him in prayer and you ask him whatever it is that's on your heart. You ask him for wisdom to deal with the situation, and he'll give you wisdom to deal with whatever situation that it is. And when you seek him and you try to find, you know what? There's a silver cloud inside of, what's that? Silver lining, right? Inside of every cloud, right? Silver lining. And you got to see what that silver lining is. Now, if you go to that next slide. Lighten my eyes. Lighten my eyes. Personal tragedies should lead to a crying out to God for wisdom. Lighten my eyes. Psalmist is getting deep here. The psalmist is getting heavy. What is the lesson in the tragedy? I told you the story about the two little boys, and they put them in a room that was filled with manure. And the first little boy, I mean, it was foul and it stinking. And the first little boy, he cried because he didn't want to be in there. He knocked on the door, get me out, get me out. So they let him out. The second little boy, they put him in there. A couple minutes later, they came back, and he had manure all over his body, and the manure was like spread apart. And he said, what'd you do? He said, with all that manure, I knew there had to be a pony in there somewhere. Man, when you go through a tragedy, God is doing something. What is happening here? God is at work. You got to ask yourself the question, what is the lesson in this tragedy? It's a sad thing that it happened. We wish to God that it didn't happen. But there is a lesson in this. Is it to prepare you to minister to somebody else? Is that why you're going through it? I remember there was a lady, and her son was killed, victim of this violent shootings. And she started a ministry, ministering to mothers who lost their children in violent shootings. Would to God that out of this tragedy, that somebody might be raised up. Somebody might be raised up. Saints, when we pray, you know, and praise God, I was so grateful, because a lot of times, you know, when things like this happen, you know, that's when the emails and the texts start flying. I get them, right? You know, we need to come together. We need to do something, right? I mean, just, and I was so glad that the clergy in Wilkinsburg, that very same day, they did the best thing that anybody could do, was get out there and pray. Because every time a tragedy like this happens, we want to have meetings, and there's nothing wrong with having a meeting. But you know, we end up back here again. I think the clergy in Wilkinsburg, I commend them, because they did the best thing that could be done. They got out there and they started praying. And as we pray for this tragedy, I'm going to ask you to pray specifically. I pray that you would ask God to raise up somebody out of these ashes that's going to have a powerful ministry in the city of Pittsburgh. That somebody will be raised up out of these ashes that will impact and affect the lives of many people in this community. Paul said in 2 Corinthians that we go through things and God comforts us so that we might be able to go out and comfort some people with the same comfort that we've been comforted with. God, raise up. Raise up some people who will say the devil meant this for evil, but God can turn it into good. Second, when we go through tragedies in life, sometimes it is to remove us from our self-dependence and impart God-dependence on us. Paul went through a tragedy, and I believe that in that process, God was weaning Paul from himself. I said it before. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. He prayed for 3 times for God to remove it. He said, God, if you remove my thorn, I'll write most of the New Testament. God, if you remove my thorn, I'll go evangelize the then known world. God, if you remove my thorn, I'll witness the people in prison. And God said, are you going to do that anyways? I'm going to leave the thorn right there. You're going to do that anyways. And so sometimes God allows these tragedies to come so that people would move themselves off of a self-dependence and that we would become dependent on God. Sometimes, and we don't want to hear this here, we don't want to hear this, sometimes it's to purify your faith. That God allows things to come into our life because he's trying to burn off the dross. I remember one of my kids, when they were growing up, they were having some problems with their eyes. And you know, we was trying to put the drops in their eyes. And they kept turning their head because they didn't want the drops to go in their eyes. And then they just turned their head and went, knocked the thing that was going to help them get better. They turned their head, knocked it away. And a lot of times when tragedies happen in our lives, God is trying to work in our lives, and instead of us saying, okay, Lord, you know, work in my life. Lord, do something in me. Lord, glorify yourself in me. I don't want that. I don't want this. You know, again, I go back to what I said earlier. There's nothing you can do to change what happened. There's nothing the people can do to change what happened. We want to go back. We want our loved ones back. Yeah. I want my loved ones back. You want your loved ones back. But there's nothing we can do to change it. And so we have to accept it. We have to accept it and allow our faith to be purified as we grow closer to God. Maybe it's for discipline or correction. Maybe there's some stuff in our lives that when we go through trials and we go through tragedies, maybe there's something in our life that God is trying to correct, discipline. And then maybe it's just to produce Christ-likeness. Jesus, think about him. He suffered. Peter says that when he was ridiculed, that he didn't ridicule back. That when he was beaten, that he accepted it. And so maybe we go through tragedies because God is trying to produce the image of Christ in us. He wants us to be more like Christ. And then finally, we see the high. The high. The thrill of victory. Verses 5 and 6. But I have trusted, going through all that, all that I've gone through, I have trusted in thy mercy, and my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. The psalmist put his trust in God. And even though he asked how long, even though he couldn't see what was going on, he still trusted God. Now, think about Job. Lost his family, lost his possessions, and lost his health. Had no idea. I was telling this person the other day that we could read the book of Job, so we see what's going on. Job didn't know what was going on. He didn't know what was happening to him. But you know what he did say? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though I go through hell and back, I'm still going to trust him. Though I go through the most adverse circumstances, I'm going to trust him. Y'all heard the illustration about a train that was going down the tracks, and it rode over an area that was flooded out, and the train kept going. And somebody said, you don't have to worry about anything happening to the train, because even though you don't see them, the train is still on the tracks. It's still on the rail. And that's what it means to trust. That's what it means to trust God. It means that when you can't see the rails, when you can't see God, when it seems like things are happening that you don't understand, you just got to keep trusting. I know that's easy to say. You know, I mean, again, talking to people that just lost somebody, five relatives, that's easy to say. I believe me, I know it almost seems, you know, I'm getting frustrated up here trying to even say it, because it seems so cheap. Yeah, just trust God. Just trust God. That seems like it's so insignificant. Man, Pastor Glaze, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear you stand up there and tell me to trust God. I'm hurting. Well, I'm going to say this. You need to go ahead and get it in you, out of you. I don't know how long it's going to take, but you need to get it out. You know, again, if you're mad, be mad and get it out. If you're crying, go ahead and cry and get it out. Now, again, it might not be one time, it might not be two, it might not be 1 month, it might not be two. I don't know how long it's going to be, but you need to get it out. Because you know what? You need to go back to trusting God. That's the only hope. That's your only hope that you have, is to trust him. When all earthly help fails, the only help that you have is to trust God. And saints, don't slap the hand that's trying to help you, that can help you through this situation. The psalmist said, I'm going to trust God. And then, I'm going to close with this. The psalmist said, verse 6. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Psalmist will continue to sing that despite what is going on around, that he was not going to lose his song. And so I'm telling you here today, saints, don't let anybody take your song. You get a song in your heart, and don't let anybody take your song. I was in Rite Aid a couple of weeks ago, and there was a lady, she was waiting behind the counter, and she was also waiting for the people that was coming in the drive-up. And I tell you what, she's an African-American young lady, and it just impressed me. And the reason that it impressed me is because, how are you today, sir? Oh, just have a wonderful day. And then there were some older people that drove, how are you, buddy? How are you doing today? And I was like, wow, you know? And then she came back to the counter, oh, can I help you? And it was just, I was like, wow, this is great. Then there was a guy who was a little impatient, and he kept coming back to the counter. And she said, you have a long order, sir, and it's not ready right now. And he kept coming back. So eventually the guy said, look, I gotta go, so I'm just going to come back. And she said, sir, your order is almost ready. I got to go. And I noticed after that, her whole countenance and her whole demeanor changed. I thought to myself, this guy just took her joy. He just took her song. And it's very easy for somebody to come and take your song. It's very easy for a tragedy to come and take your song. But sometimes, saints, in the midst of going through a tragedy, a song is the only thing that you might have, and you need to hold on to that song, and you need to sing that song through that tragedy, and you need to allow that song to help you through. And don't let anyone or anything take your song. And you sing that song. From tragedy to triumph. Man was stranded on a deserted island. He worked for weeks. He was freezing. He finally figured out how to make a fire. And then he built a hut. And as one evening, he was lighting his fire, a spark flew off of the fire and burned his hut down. And the man began to cry out to God. He said, I'm out here all by myself. He said, the only thing I had to protect me from the elements was this hut. And now it's burned down. He complained. He moaned. The next day, a boat came and rescued him. He had been there for several weeks. And he was dumbfounded. He said, well, how did you know that I was here? And they said, you know what I'm going to say. We saw your smoke signals. We saw your smoke signals. From tragedy to triumph.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for the first half of Coming into the Presence of the Lord from Psalm 15. We'd like to thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. And if you would like a copy of the message today from Psalm 13, From Tragedy to Triumph, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org, or you can call us at 877-831-5060. Remember, you can view more than 400 teachings on our website at anchoredinjesus.org. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. My friends, we remain on the air by your faithful prayers and gifts. If you would like to make a gift to this ministry, You can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send it to P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. That's anchoredinjesus.org or P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. The title of our program, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews 6:19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and anchor for the soul. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and on behalf of our volunteer staff, I would like to remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.